The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.
Yes, and for this wet Thursday morning, we're joined by Yvonne. And Yvonne, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, John.
I think it's a day for the ducks.
I think it's a day that plants will be heaving a sigh of relief and getting nice moisture into their roots, and you won't have to be chasing them with the hose. But, yeah, it's not the best day to be out gardening, let's face it, is it?
No, I wouldn't. But what a difference a week and a half makes. We're gone from heat waves now to a load of rain, which I think is only good for the garden, isn't it?
Yes, it is good for the garden. Now, it is good for the garden, but it's not great for your blossoms on your bedding plants and things like that, because it'll tend to rot. You know, flowers like roses, you know, if the buds are opening on them and they're just getting ready to come into flower, you end up with the rain on those, and then that sort of seals the bud closed. They get kind of a fungal infection. They can't open, and that's your flower head dead, you know, it won't open. So if you have that sort of thing, that can happen. But look, it's good in general for the garden. You just have to be wary that you might have to go out deadheading stuff and just keep an eye on stuff after it and encourage stuff back into flowering. We got that super period of flowering in that hot weather, and everything was glorious and fabulous and everything else. And there are plenty of flower stuff on now. But it did kind of semi-exhaust plants, and you'd want to keep feeding them to keep the second flushes coming. So deadheading and feeding is still very important if you want to continue your flowering, you know, for the likes of sweet pea and stuff like that, and rose and things. You want to continue your flowering through the summer, you're going to have to deadhead and feed.
Okay. Now, we've sent you an email there. Hopefully you'll get it and pick it up in a second.
Which I did not get, John.
Okay, not to worry. It doesn't really matter, actually, because as it transpires, the follow-up question is not actually about the tree that I sent you. So basically, there's a big fern tree, I would describe it. It looks like a fern tree in the corner of a garden. But the follow-up question is, good morning, Yvonne. I'm having this tree removed tomorrow. I'd say it's about going up the height of the eaves of the house. It looks about 12, 15 foot high.
You've just got that now, John.
In the front garden. So the question to follow is, as you can see it, it's a south-facing garden. What can I put in its place? I'm looking for maybe a small tree or shrub or something to give it a bit of privacy, but not as tall as this one. It's kind of gone up. I think they're looking for maybe something to grow out more so than up tall, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a very tall tree, and it's not. It looks like a Thuja occidentalis spiralis, which is an evergreen conifer which grows up in kind of a conical shape, but it does tend to get quite big. And for a small area like that, it reduces the options of planting anything around it or near it, because it just takes up all the space you have. So yes, you can put in a small tree. Now, the problem with putting in a small tree is if you want to keep your privacy through the year, you're going to have to go with something that's evergreen. And so something like the weeping Cotone aster, Cotone aster hybridus pendulus, which grows to about maybe 8 foot or so, and it can be a nice weeping spreading tree. White flowers in springtime, red berries through the winter. That could be nice. If you don't want to go for something that's evergreen, maybe something like an amelanchier. Grows a bit bigger, but is a lovely light growing tree. A birch would be another one. You know, some of the varieties of birches out there are beautiful. The Betula papyrifera, the Betula jacquemontii, rather, the very white barked birch. You know, or a small cherry blossom or something like that. Something which is going to just give a bit of decoration in that corner, but think about whether or not you want it to be evergreen. If you want it to be green right through the winter, you're limiting your choices of tree. So, and maybe expand your thinking a little bit and think, right, if I go something that's deciduous, I could have a tree that gives me one colour in the spring, maybe flowers, gives me a different colour leaves in the summer, and a different colour leaves then the autumn, and has nice structure in the winter. So just don't necessarily think, you know, I have to go evergreen because I want to block out all the time, unless you really want to. But go to your garden centre and ask for a bit of advice as well.
Okay. Now, next question up is to do with wildflower gardens and how to go about, I presume, introducing a wildflower garden to the area that you want to as well. I suppose it's kind of like a mini meadow or something along those lines. How do you even go about thinking about doing that, Yvonne?
Yeah, you see, it is lovely to put in a wildflower area in your garden. just be aware that they do take a lot of management, and they take a lot of forethought. You can't just go out and buy a packet of seeds and fling down wildflowers and say, I'm going to have a lovely wildflower garden. You're not. Full stop. You've got to, first of all, look at where you want to put it. And bear in mind, when you're looking where you want to put it, that at times of the year, that wildflower area will look very unsightly, because you want your wildflowers to go to seed. So it can look untidy, rather like the road verges, you know, come this month, August and September, when all the grass has sort of died back brown and you've the weeds dying back brown and everything, and the whole place looks a bit untidy. So that's the kind of look you're going to have in your wildflower area at the end of the season before you cut things back. So bear that in mind. And then when you've decided where you want it, then you've got to look at the soil. And if the soil is very, very good in the area, then you're going to grow all sorts of wildflowers like nettles and thistles and docks and these things that love, you know, highly fertilized soil, or very, very good, you know, organic soil. So really, to go grow good wildflowers, you should strip off the topsoil.
Okay.
And then go to one of the wildflower producers in Ireland and look for a wildflower meadow which is suitable to the area you're putting it into. When you go online, or if you ring these people up, they'll ask you lots of questions as to, is it a shady area, is it a cold area, is it a well-drained, badly drained area, where do you want to put these wildflowers? And they'll give you the appropriate mix for the appropriate area. And then you're at least off to a good start. And when you get that mix, it will also come with instructions on when to cut, how to cut, and what to do with, to manage it, to ensure that you get good wildflowers each year. Because some of the wildflowers will start flowering in year one. Some will take 2 or 3 years to establish, and you won't have flowers on them then. So you've got to be patient. You know, if you're looking for an annual wildflower meadow, that's sort of one kettle of fish. If you're looking for something that's going to be a longer duration, then you've got to put a lot more thought into it and a bit of research before you do anything.
Okay, good one there, and a good detailed answer as well. So well done on that one. And it's lovely when wildflowers and meadows and these type of things actually work in gardens. They are absolutely spectacularly fabulous. Good. They look really good, do well. Okay, and the next one to do is with a large apple tree where a branch is actually broken or split. We don't think we can repair, we don't think we can do much with it. The problem is the leaves are beginning to turn brown now. Do I wait till the tree is more in a dormant situation before I cut off the branch, or will it do any damage to the rest of the tree? It's about 10 years old, the apple tree.
No, you're going to have to cut that branch off, because if it's damaged and badly damaged, you know, you're going to get infections in through that cut. Rather like a cut yourself, if you didn't wash it out and clean it out, you know, that cut might get infected. So likewise with a tree, you just need to have a clean cut there on that. Depending on the size of the branch, I suspect it's rather large, but not too large. When you're cutting it, make sure you use a very sharp saw. Cut underneath the branch first. When it has torn, it is probably torn from the top down, and there's a connection still on the bottom of the bough. So you need to cut the bottom first and then cut cleanly down the top. Now, probably the best way to do it is cut that branch back out farther on the limb to take the weight off the cut. So cut out farther, remove the outer part of the bough, and then you're left with sort of a small section nearer the cut, which will be easier to remove cleanly. But you should do it now. And then in the winter, when it's the correct time to prune, then you can look at the resulting shape of the tree with that branch gone. And you might need to reshape your tree to compensate for an imbalance in the branch structure.
Okay, good answer as well on that one too. Keep those texts to WhatsApps coming to us, folks. Off we go to Abigail. Abigail is listening to us in Kilcock. She says she had a load of crocuses in the early part of spring, which she's cut back and put in pots. She wants to know, when is the best time to put these back in the ground, as they're something that I have quite an awful lot of them, and I don't want to miss the opportunity for the following year.
Yeah, now she can put them into the ground. Well, see, she has them She has them in, I don't know whether she lifted them and just stored them loose.
I'd say so, that by the looks of things, yeah.
Did.
Yeah.
So if she's putting them into the ground, she could do so next month. You know, into once you're into September, you're really into the planting month for bulbs and that for spring flowering. So leave August go and into September, and depending on whether the middle or the end of September would be an ideal time for planting them. Now, when you put crocuses in the ground, and a lot of spring flowering bulbs, in fact the majority of spring flowering bulbs, you can leave them in the ground. You don't have to lift them every year. You can just let them die back and leave them in the ground. So, and they will naturally even multiply when they're in the ground, so you'll end up with more than you started with, which is a bit of a bonus. So if she doesn't have to lift them next spring after flowering, don't lift them. And even if they're in the ground and you say, well, I really want to have summer bedding plants or something else in that area, there's nothing to stop you planting summer bedding plants or other small shrubs or herbaceous or whatever around these bulbs, especially if the plants you plant die down in the winter, because then you'll have your crocuses coming when the plant has died down. Say if something like, take for example a hosta, which is a nice leafy plant with a blue flower on it. Lovely leafy plant right through the summer, but there's nothing there in winter. So if you had crocuses planted around your hosta plant, now you'd have flowering in the winter in that area, then your hosta would come up when the crocuses have died down, and your hosta would come up and fill the area again. So you'd have two different plants in the area for the different seasons.
Okay. And when it comes to daffodils for the following season, so in springtime, so are you getting those bulbs back into the ground around the same period as well in September?
Yes. Yeah, we're talking all spring flowering bulbs, John, like fritillarias and winter aconites, muscaris, bluebells, you know, all the different spring flowering bulbs. They would normally be planted in the autumn, but if they're planted in the ground, generally speaking, most of these bulbs would be left in the ground forever and never lifted.
Okay, right, here's another question to do with the plant. It is a Essentio angel wings plant. The front of the plant is drooping. The rest of the plant looks okay. Do you think I need to repot it or even divide it, says Katie?
Yes, Senecio angel wings. It's a foliage plant, very silvery whitish foliage, beautiful plant. It's become very popular of late. It does tend to spread a good bit, and you can get, you know, if you have it in the ground, it can spread over the ground, but you can manage it by just cutting back pieces of it. And yes, you can get a bit of die back here and there. It might have been that dry weather that affected one portion of it, especially if it's in a pot. So look at, take off the bit that's bad. Don't repot it now. You can do that. You shouldn't need to repot it now, unless it's very, very, very tight in its pot, in which case give it a bit more space. But it is a plant, again, that would grow equally well in the ground as in a pot. And if you're finding it hard to manage in the pot, you can put it into the ground.
Okay, and if you were to divide it, Yvonne, how would you go about doing it, says Katie?
You'd leave that now till the autumn time.
Late autumn. Well into the autumn
spring.
Time. Yep.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Now, it's an evergreen plant. It doesn't lose all its leaves over the winter. So you're not going to be into a plant that just has roots when you're dividing. You'll have the whole plant there when you're dividing.
Okay. Here's another one. I haven't heard this question before from Liz. Is it okay to put potato leaves on the compost heap? Why would that be a question?
Yeah, because solanum, look at, yes, you can. Again, if you're not making your whole compost out and they're just going in, certainly you can throw them in. And in fact, I often have the odd small potato gone into my compost heap as well, which means that my compost heap starts growing potatoes the following spring, and that's grand as well, because I take it all out and then they're gone. But yes, look at, again, it's like with anything, too many leather leaves won't be good. There are toxins in potato leaves, but again, they'll break down, and when you put it in, you get this, you know, you get anaerobic bacteria, and you get everything working on them, so they do break down okay.
Okay, now Onward Bound, there's lots of them coming in, so let's get to a few more of them. First of all, this is from Brendan Doyle. Hello, Brendan. How do I go about getting rid of gooseberry sawfly? Never heard of it, but you can tell me what it is. I presume it's to do with the gooseberries.
Yes, it is. Look, not a lot you can do, because, you know, spray, you can just, you they do, they're a moth, you know, that lays eggs, and you get this sawfly, you know, developing on. They do a lot of damage. They can absolutely defoliate gooseberry plants. Not a lot you can do. You can put bug off or something on them, but make sure your gooseberries are harvested first. But prune well and try, and if you can remove them by hand, that's fantastic, but mind your handies when you're doing it.
Yeah, okay, good advice on that one, Drew. And another quick question for you, this is from Brenda. Brenda wants to know, how do you go about minding papyrus?
I think. Yeah. Wasn't papyrus what they used to write?
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to say, in the old Egyptian times and stuff like that, didn't they?
I'm not great on papyrus, but I think it certainly likes moist conditions. I do know that. But I'm going to have to get back to that one on you, John, because I'm not, other than it liking boggy ground, I'm not quite sure what.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's fairly hardy, but I wouldn't like to give a definitive...
That's no problem.
What's the word?
Definitive answer.
Thank you, John.
There you go. And maybe, Brenda, if you're listening, and don't, even if Eva on doesn't get back to us between now and next week, Jim will be with us next week, hopefully, and maybe you can re-WhatsApp that back to us, and we'll take care of it from there as well. Okay, here's another one for you. I bought 4 rose bushes a few months ago. 3 of them have bloomed twice already, and the 4th one, no roses yet. What can it be? Why not?
Well, if they're growing well, again, I think we had a caller in last week about some roses that were doing really well and weren't bothering to flower. That can be a reason, you know, if you're overfeeding. But other than that, if they're in a very shady area, John, they won't do well. If they're growing really well, more than likely, they just couldn't be bothered flowering. Now, a lot of roses this year did throw a fantastic flush of flowers early on in the year. Well, a couple of weeks ago there, in the very hot weather. I was going to say earlier on in the year. It seems like months ago now, looking at the day today. But, they kind of, you know, there's a bit of exhaustion there, and it'll take time for a second flush. But once you've deadheaded, if they're repeat flowering roses, they will give you another flush of flowering. Some roses only throw one flush of flowers, so there's not much you can do about it. But look at, hopefully they will just begin flowering in their own time, and I would suspect that you're overfeeding.
Okay, and on that note, we'll park it there for today. God, that was a quick 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. It's already up nearly on 10 to 12 today. Yvonne, that was brilliant. Well done, and thanks as always. I think it's Jim next week, and if not, sure, we'll talk to you. But either way, I hope you're enjoying the bad weather. Get out in the garden and do a bit of stuff.
Take care, John.
Cheers. Yvonne O'Connor, Johnstown Gardening Centre, bringing us the Green Room as always. It's back again next week. Usual time on a Thursday, around 25 past 11. If you have some questions that you want to send us in by email, or you want to send us some pictures for Yvonne, it's very easy to do. You can text or WhatsApp to us on 0833 97 97 97. And if it's a picture, you can send it off to studio at kfmradio.com. Or if it's a picture, you can also, on the day, just WhatsApp it early enough, and we'll get those to Yvonne so she can take a look at them well in advance.
The Green Room with Johnstown Garden Centre, home of expert garden advice. JohnstownGardenCentre.ie.